Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we welcome Senator John Kennedy to our show this afternoon. Senator, welcome to WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Scoot. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Now, you know I'm a radical moderate. I'm a registered independent, so I don't belong to either political tribe. So let's talk about this House-approved second round of stimulus. You say it's not going to pass because it deals with other stuff. Talk about some of the other stuff that it's dealing with.
We've done four coronavirus bills. This would be our fifth. Speaker Pelosi proposed a bill that really is not a coronavirus bill. In my judgment, it's a remake Western civilization bill. It deals with topics like immigration, would rewrite our immigration laws. Deals with release of federal prisoners. In my judgment, it would federalize our voting system, which is administered by states and local governments. It would expand the Affordable Care Act. It costs $3 trillion. That's three 000000000000 taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
I think it has no chance of passing the United States Senate. And my guess is we will start over and see if there are 60 votes to do something else. One of the topics we're talking about is state and local government, whether we should give additional assistance to state and local government. I sit on the Appropriations Committee. Louisiana has already received probably $3.5 billion. That's $300 million for our schools, $200 million for our universities, about $1 billion for our hospitals. Extra Medicaid money, $1.8 billion for state and local government. You just saw the legislature balance its budget with the federal aid that we provided. The issue will be, should we give them more? Another issue will be, should we provide additional stimulus money to people and to American businesses? I will tell you, as a general principle, I think the best stimulus bill is to get the economy reopened safely. We're never going to get back on our feet economically if we all sit at home and watch Netflix. I don't know whether we'll have another bill. If you'd asked me a week ago, I'd say the odds were less than 50%. I think now they're a little bit above 50%, probably about 55%. It's just whether or not we can put together 60 votes for something in the United States Senate.
Well, Senator, what bothers me and what bothers a lot of voters is the idea that there are political attempts to use something like helping the American people for all these other reasons, tagging all these other things onto this bill. And, you know, this is part of the process that America has just become disgusted with.
Well, the subtext of most bills, unfortunately, on both sides of the aisle, is the November election. and that's just fact, Scoot. It's not a fact I'm proud of, but I think certainly Speaker Pelosi's bill is like that, but I think it's a practice that you see evident on both sides of the aisle.
Senator, let's talk about this this act that that you have co-authored with a Democrat from Maryland, Chris Van Hollen, and this passed the Senate last week. It is the Holding Foreign Countries Accountable Act. And it protects American investors and their investment and retirement savings from foreign countries operating on the U.S. stock exchange. You want to explain that?
Yes. I think it's important to distinguish between the good people of China and the Communist Party of China that rules them. I've been to China several times. The people of China are smart. They're warm, they're friendly, they have a good sense of humor, they're incredibly hardworking. Unfortunately, their government is run by a bunch of thugs, the Communist Party of China. And I would not turn my back on the Communist Party of China if they were in the ground and 2 days dead. They cheat. You can't trust them. I'll give you one example. If you missed your company to sell stock on an American stock exchange, you have to be audited so we know you're not cheating investors and lying about your profits. And the SEC has the right to review your audit. Every company that lists on the stock exchange follows that rule. American companies, Malaysian companies, Turkmenistan companies, British companies, except Chinese companies, particularly state-owned Chinese companies, they refuse. And we put up with it for a long time. And Senator Van Hollen, my Democratic friend from Maryland, and I passed a bill last week in the United States Senate that says any company, including but not limited to a Chinese company, that doesn't want to allow its audits to be reviewed by the SEC, and carry it sorry rear end to another stock exchange, because we do not want them on an American exchange, and we don't want our people cheated. And there have been plenty of instances where Chinese companies have lied about their profits, and investors have bought their stock, and the lies became evident to everybody, and people lost a lot of money by buying their stock. Very simple bill. China just has to follow the rules that everybody else follows. No special rules for them. They just have to do what everybody else does.
Will this complicate bigger matters with China?
The Communist Party of China doesn't like it. That's them being happy is not part of my job description.
Right.
If I were asking our friends in China to do something extra or special or singling them out, that would be one thing. But I'm not. I'm just saying you got to follow the rules that everybody else follows. If
you
don't want to follow them, then go list on another exchange. But everybody wants to list in America because our capital pools are very liquid and very deep.
So do you think that this Holding Foreign Countries Accountable Act is going to pass? It passed the Senate. It's going to get through the
House? It's up to Speaker Pelosi. I think that Speaker Pelosi runs the House. I mean, what she says goes. Whether she'll bring it to the floor or not, I don't know. I think she will. I don't know whether the president will sign it. I think he will. But I think it's got a great chance to become law. It should pass the United States Senate unanimously. And that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Senator, I like you. You're a good guy. I like you as a person. I like the way you put things. You've got a, just this country folklore language that I think is just it's very different and refreshing in the hardcore world of politics. I know you're a strong Trump supporter, but I want to talk to you as a person. When President Trump talks about being upset over being fact-checked by Twitter and talks about using the federal government to shut down social media, isn't that extreme?
Well, here's my thoughts on it. I don't want to get off into the Scarborough-Trump fight because, frankly, I haven't followed it. I've got other priorities. But in terms of Twitter Google, Facebook censoring what we post. They do it already, Scoot. Well, let me give you an example. Google. If I put into Google, Scoot, WWL, I'm going to get what Google wants me to see. They have algorithms, just recipes and code. They won't tell anybody what those recipes are. But I get to see whatever pops up when I Google Scoot WWL based on what Google wants me to see.
But with
and
that,
there's
not
been a bunch of it.
Go ahead.
That's censorship. They're doing it already. So does Facebook. So does Twitter. For example, there have been a bunch of instances. The Wall Street Journal did a major story on Google, an investigative story, that Google favors its big advertisers. If you spent $50 million a year advertising with Google, your entry is going to pop up at the top when I Google you.
Well, I understand. But that's okay. That is the nature of the media in general, because our media, whether it's radio, television, newspapers, magazines, or social media, it is designed to deliver the largest possible audience to advertisers. And based on that, it would be governed by the same principles that govern any form of entertainment. So it's truly entertainment.
Except if it's an antitrust violation. And the European Union, I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but they just popped Google with a $9 billion fine.
Maybe Google deserved that, but I want to get let's get back to the specifics of the mail-in ballots. Let's get back to the mail-in ballots. President Trump is talking about mail-in ballots being inherently fraudulent, and there's no evidence to back that up. It doesn't mean that there are not fraud charges, and I'm not talking about the Joe Scarborough episode. I mean, that it seems like that is the president is doing that to better position himself, and it seems to me like President Trump is becoming unhinged, that he is desperate right now because there are clear signs that his reelection is no guarantee in November. And to say that all mail-in ballots, that mail-in ballots themselves are fraudulent, just speaks to the fact that Republicans don't want mail-in ballots because they don't want more people voting, and it's simply not true. And so what Twitter did was fact-check the president, and on those tweets just offered articles that have been written contrary to what the president says as another form of information. And with that, the president wants to shut down Twitter, and he's calling it censorship?
Well, let me comment on the mail-in ballots, because honestly, I really haven't followed any of this on purpose. I've just got other things to do, and it just doesn't interest me. I just think it's irrelevant to the circumstances that we find ourselves in today. There can be fraud in mail-in ballots. It just depends on how good a job your states and local governments do in combating the fraud. There is this practice out there. It's legal in California. It's not legal in other states. It's not legal in Louisiana, to my knowledge, called ballot harvesting, where people can go around with a paper ballot and collect paper ballots from other people, suggesting along the way how they might want to vote. I think that is an abuse of our free and fair elections.
Well, maybe that's up for debate. But I have lived and voted in three of the five states that allow mail-in ballots, and there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. In the same way that there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud when Trump became president and said that there was voter fraud and that's why he didn't win the popular vote. Where is the evidence? And if the evidence isn't there, then don't we, the American public, have the right to question the information?
Sure, you have the right to question the information. Has there been fraud with mail-in ballots? Yes, there has been. Now, you can debate whether it's rampant or not.
Well, but there's no evidence to indicate that it is widespread. And the president's going on that assumption, trying to scare people.
There's nothing inherently fraudulent about a mail-in ballot. if that's your question. There has been fraud in terms of behavior, in terms of how mail-in ballots are handled.
Of course. I totally agree.
Yeah, is it widespread? I don't know. That depends on how you define widespread. I've always read stories for years. For example, I don't know if it was mail-in ballots or not, that Chicago, there was fraud in the Kennedy-Nixon election back in the 60s.
Could very well have been.
And that's why Kennedy was elected. I don't know if that's true or not.
And Chicago politics makes New Orleans politics look like we're on the up and up.
Amen on that, brother. Amen.
But, Senator, I mean, I respect that you have a lot of things to worry about. And you know, you and I can disagree on what is truly important. But I think the idea of censorship when there really is no censorship, I think the idea of the president wanting to shut this down out of frustration, or just even mentioning shutting it down out of frustration, is a very, very serious problem to our free democracy, our free republic, our country.
I don't know the basis on which he could shut it down. I mean, I really haven't followed it, Scoot. I will tell you this. We have a Bill of Rights and a First Amendment, but that only applies to government. It doesn't apply to you and me. Our First Amendment rights are protected vis-a-vis and against the power of government.
Correct.
Twitter is not a government entity. Twitter is a private entity. If I put up a Facebook page, not paid for with taxpayer money, but just me, and I want to block you, that's not censorship. You don't have any First Amendment rights, and vice versa. You want to block me. Now, if it's, you know, paid for with taxpayer dollars, that's a separate story. But if we're just private citizens, and I go on your Facebook page and you don't like what I post, you can block me.
And that's not
a violation of my First Amendment rights. And Twitter's a private company. So I don't know the basis for the president saying that. I don't know if, I mean, I really don't. I'm not saying he's right or wrong, because I honestly just hadn't spent time on it. But as long as that's how Twitter and Google and Facebook get away with filtering the results that we see under the First Amendment.
Well, in the same way that Fox News and conservative media, they filter the news as well. I mean, this is on both sides. And Senator, I don't want to hold you.
Everybody filters the news now. I mean, at the national level, it's terrible.
Right.
I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. I think that's why more and more America, even the newspapers, I think more and more Americans, I've seen the studies and the polls show that people are getting their news. More and more are they trust the news they get from local television, local radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
Even the talk shows try to at the local level try to have a balance.
Right.
The national folks on all sides, they're not journalists anymore in terms of trying to be fair, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I agree. They're entertainers more than they are journalists in most cases.
Yeah, they're entertainers.
And Senator, yeah, I don't want to hold you to comment on something that you say you're not familiar with, and you and I can have different opinions on how important this action is, even talking about Twitter. But I like you, I really do, and we may not agree on everything, but I appreciate you taking time to be on our show. And before I let you go, what do you say to those people who are having a hard time getting minimum wage workers back because some minimum wage workers are sitting back on the unemployment and they're not going back to their jobs?
I would say to them, think long term. Though I know right now some folks can make more money receiving unemployment than they can going back to work. But that's going to end on July 31. It's not going to be extended. Think longer term than that.
Yeah.
And I would also tell them that doing in America is a lot more important and a lot more satisfying than having. Americans are strivers and climbers and dreamers and risk takers and doers. We're the greatest country in all of human history because we work, we do, we achieve, we aspire. We don't sit at home and watch Netflix, even if we make more money doing it.
And Senator, you and I totally agree on that. And I love the way you phrased it. Doing is better than having. Senator John Kennedy, yeah. Republican for Louisiana, thank you for your time, and you're always welcome on the show.
Thank you, Scoop. Enjoy your show, man.
Okay, I appreciate that. Bye-bye. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. All right, when we come back, I want to share with you something that a company in Mississippi is doing because some workers don't want to come back to work. They want to live on unemployment. And we'll also continue the conversation about whether or not President Trump is right to threaten to shut down Twitter because they fact-checked him when it comes to mail-in ballots. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. This is WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.